And now a scene from last week's It's a Show.
Could you please do one thing for me and give G-Fark the back-end secret codes for the Facebook and Twitter so he can Twitter his brains out?
Sure.
He's got a grandmaster plan that he's going to tweet every day. We'll see how that goes.
Welcome to It's a Show, the only podcast on the internet that gives you an hour's worth of content in 30 minutes or less. I'm GA.
And I'm Sparky.
And it's time for a little bit off the top, brought to you by Tommy Gunn's Original Barbershop.
Get a haircut and get a real job. Get a haircut and get a real job.
On this week's show, oh baby, some insights into a Saskatchewan couple's million-dollar miracle fiasco.
And I had a Big Mac attack, the Fleetwood Mac concert review, including audio, coming up.
And a great big guest star is on this week's show.
Oh yeah, 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 oh yeah.
We'll talk with Alan Doyle about his new book, Where I Belong, Small Town to Great Big Sea.
Yeah, you can watch your own poo come up the pipe at the other end. It was so awesome.
Hey, Spark, good to see you.
Yes, likewise. Happy almost end of November and literally no snow on the ground.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not literally. Compared
I'm
to last year.
Snow right there.
Hey, I was outside the other day in shorts and flip-flops filling up my gas tank.
You're one of those guys.
It was a little fresh, but it wasn't freeze your nips off.
I went to a hockey game last night with my beautiful wife. It was one of those dudes walking through the parking lot, and It was warm. But he has just a t-shirt, no jacket. These guys are tough, man.
Was that the makeup to the I forgot about a very important date last weekend?
Okay, I forgot about my 25th wedding anniversary. I'm sure this has happened to other people too.
Edit point. I've adjusted my mic and we're continuing on.
No, I mean, it was accidental, purely accidental. I was thinking about the 25th anniversary and then life got in the way. I have a new job.
It's very stressful, this job of yours.
Has to raise a lot of money in a short amount of time.
Happenings happening over there. What is the 25th anniversary?
Silver. It's silver anniversary, so that means that I have to buy her a box of tinfoil. Or I'm not. That wouldn't surprise her, to be honest with you. Yeah, she's a beautiful woman. Her name's Teresa. I'm so lucky to have her, and she's very, very understanding. Here's the thing. Not every marriage is going to make 25 years. I understand that. We're not bragging. That's just where we're at in our relationship. The one thing I want to say, though, is when you reach this length of time together with another human being, you understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know each other's shortfalls and strengths, and you deal with each other. And so...
Keeping a schedule and important dates.
Yeah, she
you're a very busy person.
And, you know, I blame my sister. It's my sister's fault because she generally in the past has always sent me some type of reminder or notification that, hey, dumbass, because their anniversary is the same weekend as ours.
Yeah.
So it was their 29th. So happy birthday to Kirk Clavin and his beautiful better half, Leanne.
I had a heck of a weekend.
Did I say birthday or anniversary?
I don't remember what you said. I had a heck of a weekend last week, and it was my big Alberta tour. I went to the World Water Park again on West Edmonton.
You're
Mall.
A grown man. Why are you going to the water park?
I love that place so much. I went with my sister. My brother was not there. My sister, brother-in-law, and a couple of cousins, and my dad. My 50-year-old father went on the Cyclone, which is the one that kind of goes almost upside down, but not quite.
So he was on. So you were at the water park, at the other thing.
We were at the water slides at the water park.
Oh, okay. So that's not the roller coaster.
No,
the cyclone.
There's that's a cyclone water slide. That's the one that you go in the capsule and the floor drops from you. Amazing.
That's ridiculous.
We had so much fun, the group of eight of us, and it was just, we were racing down slides. We were in the wave pool, you know, trying to not get punched in the face. I don't know if you're familiar with the water park, but they've got this slide called the Extreme Sky Screamer.
Okay.
That's the one that goes straight down. Straight down, and then you curve to
those things.
Oh, I went on it for the first time. If my 25-year-old sister can do it, this tiny person, I can do it.
Yeah.
So I did.
And
I loved it. It was so much fun. We had such a good time. Then later that night.
That's located, by the way, in the world-famous West Edmonton Mall.
That's right.
We used to broadcast live from, Sparky and I.
In the West Edmonton regions. Later that night, we went to the Olive Garden, which is, if you've never been. You know how much I love Olive Garden.
I have not been to Olive Garden since we left Toronto in 1998.
It is so simple because it's pasta. I can make pasta right now.
Yeah.
I could boil some water, create some sauce, fry up a chicken, boom. There's the Olive Garden experience.
You gotta add a pound of sugar and mystery sauce.
Oh, the sauce and the breadsticks and the salad and the unlimited all-I-can-drink raspberry iced teas. Oh, my Lord. And the best part?
What was the best part?
My dad paid.
Nice. When I was a kid, once in a while with Grandma and Grandpa in special occasions, we'd go to Bonanza.
Oh,
and
Bonanza
had the salad bar. And the salad bar doesn't sound like something that a farm kid would be into. But they had so many different dressings and toppings and blah, blah, blah. I just loaded it all
that's,
up.
That's the good stuff right there.
Unbelievable.
All the deliciousness. And then I got to satisfy my musical tastes with a little concert involving some old people, also known as Fleetwood Mac.
Good.
You know, I mean, I knew they were successful and they've, you know, been around, have a lot of hits. I know Stevie Nicks is a part of the band and she's probably the most famous out of the group, but I had no idea how old they were. This is the big tour because Christine McVie is back with the band and she is rocking 71.
So 71, hating you right now, like, because, yeah, so after the concert, she gets to go to Denny's and gets the seniors discount, which is amazing. It's a little capper.
That show, if I could rate it out of 5 stars, it's easily a 5 out of 5. The production was amazing. They sounded fantastic. They were rocking solos, drums, guitar, keyboards, whatever. That was an experience I will never forget.
The coolest part, too, is you got to take your pop.
Yeah, and he was really loving it. And it was amazing to see, and I've said this before, the vast age groups of people, young, old, in the middle. Didn't matter. It was a sold-out show, and it was amazing.
And the sound, because when you're at that level, you can demand and afford the right sound. Because mm-hmm. we've all been to great concerts with great bands, but all of a sudden, the sound, your ears are ringing for 6 days later. We actually just had a communal experience with the Trooper and April Wine's
show. Yeah.
And the sound was really good in that, because I never had ear ringage at all. Nothing.
No, that was rocking. So I loved it. It was a great weekend. And of course, that was also the weekend that the Eskimos beat the Rough Riders in the West semifinal. Oh, ring that bell.
All right. I'm not ringing no bell for you. And you are going to the Western final with Calgary and Edmonton. We're in a rebuilding phase apparently again. We just won the Grey Cup and then it all went south. Like, what happened?
I'm hoping to post this today, because if it's not going to get uploaded today, then there's no hope for this podcast. But yes, I'm going to the West Final and it's going to be awesome. I am so pumped. I'm nervous, but I'm excited.
Okay, I'm excited about this little note from Saskatchewan, okay? So the Riders crapped the bed. We all know what happened there. But this beautiful nugget came to us through Facebook this week. I would identify this person, this anonymous person, as the quintessential guy from Saskatchewan that we all know. And
he, Brett Bunt. Bunt.
No,
Bunt.
No.
What's his name?
How dare you slurry his good name. We're not going to talk about Brent yet. We're going to talk about the guy who called CBC Saskatchewan and left a message on the answering machine.
Hold on.
Hold on, Highway. Hold on along.
Sheila, please, please, please don't tell us how nice it's going to be this weekend, because it's going to go up to -1. Okay? Please, because it's not going to be nice, because the frickin' wind is just going to howl, okay? Every time it warms up, the hot air rises, and the wind just howls. So it ain't going to be nice. And being a person that lives rurally, I can tell you that when it's 30 below, okay, Celsius, you can take your mitts off for half an hour and do things outside, okay, when there's no wind blowing at 30 below. But when it is 0 or -5 even, okay, you take your mitts off and your hands freeze instantly. So I can tell you, okay, this weekend is going to be the physical shit, okay, because the wind's going to be howling, and then it's going to be only -1, so then it's going to melt and have a bunch of hog slop. So knock off how nice it's going to be, please, okay? It's just sickening, okay? This province is the asshole of the world, and it'll suck the life out of you, okay? It'll suck the will to live out of you, okay? Because it's just a...
Is that it?
No, that's not it.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God.
Wind howling every day, and you're not hiking or biking or skiing, or you're not doing anything, okay? It's the a-hole of the world, and we pay to live here. We pay to live here. Super high taxes. So, please, knock off the nice, okay? I get the funny feeling that you guys are just saying that so that people won't just end it, okay? Because then, of course, they wouldn't be able to pay their taxes to these lechers, right? You know, people go hang themselves in their goddamn closet, okay? Because this fucking place is a piece of shit, okay? So please, please, please knock off the how nice it's going to be, because it ain't, because the wind's going to be howling, okay? Thank you. Bye.
This is a guy that lives in Saskatchewan.
That's a dude. That's my home province.
My Lord,
and he's dead on.
He's right on the money.
He's right on the money. How awesome would it be just to let fly and let people know exactly what you think on a daily basis like this guy? I mean, thank you, CBC, for his therapy. That didn't cost him a dime.
So you got a nice book here on the studio table.
I do. It's called Alan Doyle, Where I Belong, Small Town, the Great Big Sea. Let's get into our interview with Big Al.
Hey, man. It's Alan Doyle. How you doing?
He hails from Petty Harbor, Newfoundland. If you read his book about growing up there like I just did, you'll wish you grew up there too. He's an author, singer-songwriter, recording artist, a front man for one of Canada's most recognized and respected bands, and he's also a pretty damn good actor too.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah.
Alan Doyle, welcome to It's a Show and our new feature, Authorized.
Thanks so much for having me, man. These all sound so important when you put it together like that.
Yeah, you are important, man. And the book is called Where I Belong, From Small Town to Great Big Sea. I think your friend Russell Crowe's quote about your book was dead on. And he said, excellent adventure. I feel like I've lived another's life. That's how you did it. These stories just came to life and we felt we were right there in Petty Harbor with you.
Well, it was great fun. A lot of them are stories I've been telling since I was a little kid.
By the way, what's it like to have a pint with Russell Crowe?
Oh, it's pretty good, you know? I've been lucky enough to have pints with lots of people. And, you know, Russell comes from the same kind of background that I do, right?
Yeah.
We grow up in hardworking families, and we're lucky enough to make careers for ourselves in the arts. And, you know, he takes his work really seriously, so why? He takes his good times really seriously, so why? he's a real gent, man.
Maybe that could be your next book, Pints With... dot, dot, dot. Just do pint stories.
Just the research for it would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Now, you're very close with your family, obviously. Your older brother, Bernie, your uncles. Your uncle Leonard showed you how to play bar chords, and your uncle Ronnie's band was really your first regular paying gig as a musician. I want to know what their reactions were after you labored over this book for a while, you put it all together, and then obviously you gave your families copies to read, or maybe you made them buy them. I don't know how it works, but what did they think about their stories coming to life like this in this book?
Oh, across the board, everybody was delighted, I think, to have our family story told, the story of the Doyles in Petty Harbor told, and the story of Petty Harbor told, because they all deserve to have their moment, you know. I was lucky enough to grow up in a musical family at the tail end of a way of life in Newfoundland. You know, like I was one of the last guys that got to live that kind of way, and one of the last guys that kind of got to have a childhood that was, you know, more like my father's childhood than it was like my friend's childhood from town or whatever, you know. So I kind of got to travel in time a little bit. Yeah, Friday nights in Newfoundland, or Saturday nights or whatever, most of the coastal communities, nobody was coming on a bus to provide entertainment. There was no bus rolling through with a bunch of, you know, Johnny Cash cavalcade or something. So you had to make it yourself. You know, you had to be on top of it. No one was coming to bring you that. That had to come from within.
You know, when I was a kid, we were always told, don't hitchhike. Never, ever hitchhike. But, I mean, that's how your dad got to work every day, and that's how you ended up getting into St. John's to go to your museum job when you were a kid all the time. So you're a father now. Would you recommend to your son to hitchhike?
Not one time.
Yeah.
Different times now, man. It's like, it's just, and it's, again, it's one of those things that I just feel like I got to live one of those ancient ways of life almost, you know, like,
yeah.
It's only in retrospect that I look back and think that it was bizarre, but it is kind of bizarre that a guy, you know, my age got to do all that stuff.
Yeah, so this guy's a rock star. We still got more to go with the interview, and we're going to talk about turning his book into a movie, a broken piano that was a very stressful event in his life, and poop.
I love the poop story.
Now, back to Saskatchewan just for a brief second. Here's something good that came out of Saskatchewan. Premier Brad Wall, he is a rock star, recognized across Canada as one of the awesome premiers, gets stuff done. He also declared April 9th as Corner Gas Day every year in the province of Saskatchewan. And I don't know if you heard this, Spark, but the Corner Gas movie is out.
It's out now?
December 3rd through... It's a four-day run. That's it. I think it's 3rd wow. through the 7th. That's all you have, the only window of opportunity to go see this live in the theater and support Brent Butt and the whole Corner Gas team.
They don't realize that I have a very tight schedule and that I have things on the go.
We're going.
4 days?
Look what I did. In tribute to Corner Gas, I'm wearing my 96.3 Big Earl gas station shirt with my name on it, so ever so tastefully emblazoned on the right nipple.
Rest in peace, Big Earl 96.3.
Do you know who else has a replica of this shirt with a different name on it?
Brad Butt.
Oscar from
Oscar
Corner Gas.
Oscar Leroy.
Eric Peterson was live in studio. We presented him with a shirt and got fired shortly thereafter that day.
Jackass.
Okay, we have to hit a love life update.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a Sparky love life update. Okay. Her name was Lola.
She was a showgirl. I don't understand. Things were going so great. What happened? Something must have happened.
It's not you. It's me. When
you're
hot, you're hot.
When you're not, you're not. You're giving me the it's not you, it's me routine? I invented it's not you, it's me. Nobody tells me it's them, not me. If it's anybody, it's me. If you like pina coladas and getting
caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga. Here's the latest. There is nothing new in terms of developments.
Okay,
we've
so
hit a drought period.
We all know you're the hardest working guy in and out of show business. You got a day job, you got a night job, now you're going back to school.
Oh, emergency phone call. Hold.
Hang on one sec, Mom. Mom, can you hear me? I can't hear
her. Yeah, I can hear you, honey.
Okay, there we go. Well, boy, you sure called it at a perfect time.
Oh.
Sparky and I are recording the It's a Show podcast. And we're.
What's
can you hear me? Can you hear me? She can't hear me now. Mom?
Yes.
You can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
We're right in the middle of Sparky's Love Life update. It's part of our podcast on It's a Show.
Call you later.
No, we need your help.
Oh.
Okay, so Sparky is single. He's a confirmed bachelor, but he wants to get unconfirmed. He wants to get a girl, and he's been on the dating sites, and he's been on lots of blind dates, and
yeah.
It hasn't really ever panned out for him. So what's your advice, being a woman who was married for many, 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 many years?
Well, I just don't know what he's like.
Okay, I'll describe Sparky. He's tall, great smile, great laugh, very smart. He's going to business school to better himself. He's going back to business school because he finished 2 years and then he crapped out. So now he's going back to finish the other two.
That's right.
And he's got great taste in television for the most part. He likes a show called Gossip Girl, which we don't like to talk about a lot because it's not a really manly show. So, Sparky, tell Mom if you take a girl out on a date, you would, like, pay, obviously.
Yeah, I would pay, and we would go out for, you know, a drink or coffee or whatever, no pressure. I think my biggest problem is asking the initial date.
Well, just be yourself and don't give up.
Don't give up.
If you think she's a wonderful girl and somebody you like to, just keep on bugging her.
There you go.
So, Mom, I was at the hockey game with my wonderful girl last night, and we saw one of her old teacher friends, and she had told me this before. She goes, oh, I got this girl for Sparky. And I go, okay, what's her name? Blah, blah, blah. And I forget her name. Anyway, but she said, the kids always mistake me for her all the time in the hallway. I said, well, she must be good looking because I'm no dummy.
Oh.
And so I saw her last night for the first time, and she is good looking, and she's tall. And she's 30. How old are you, Sparky?
29 going on 30.
So.
But.
But what?
I'm waiting for the but.
There's no but.
This is.
She's charming. I listened to her talk to my wife for as long as I could stand, like 5 minutes. Then I went and got a beer while they finished their conversation about teaching. But yeah, she's pretty and
okay.
So should we make the blind date happen?
Now this is where you and your lovely wife have another one of those awesome dinner occasions, because that was delicious. The chili was good.
When you came to my house, you mean?
Yeah. Then
invite her over.
Make it happen.
Okay. Well, Mom, you've been a tremendous help.
Well, he sounds like a terrific man, and I think if he just is a little more well, I don't know. You don't want to be
bold,
you know,
slightly anxious. Forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just kind of.
Yes, girls will know when you're really interested in that you are serious about this.
We only have a little bit of time left, Mom, but I want to ask you, because Dad is gone now and stuff, and but he courted you. And what was the one thing about Dad that you fell in love with? Was it right away, or did you have to warm up to him, or how did that go? We never even talked about this.
No, actually, it was through his buddies that I got to know him, and through George Wakabayashi, who was a good friend.
If anyone could spell Wakabayashi right now, we'll send him a prize, a T-shirt.
Yeah, well, the thing of it is, he had good friends, and they introduced me to him, and he had a girlfriend at the time, and he would still date me. So I said, okay, it's me or nothing.
Nice.
So I just stuck with him, and yes.
Holder Newt here for a second to coin a grandpa phrase, but who was he dating? Who was he dating? Who was that girl?
She was a neighbor of mine.
Did you want to just gouge your eyes out or what?
Yeah. She just,
Was she nice or no?
Well, nice, but she, you know, wanted too much. She was really, she wouldn't accept whatever.
Oh,
and
boy.
And so anyway, he, as much as he tried, he'd always date me first, and then he'd ask her what her plan is for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know? You just got to get to know her a little more and about her.
So what did you tell Dad? You want her to have an award-winning broadcaster as a son? Is that what you told him? Is that how you hooked him?
Well, yeah. Actually, I told him I didn't want any children.
He said, yeah, sure. That's not going
to
happen.
What I told my mother, I'm never going to have any kids because they used to have to look after all my nieces and nephews, and they were a lot to, you know. I was a lot older than they were at the time.
Right.
Anyway, he was a farmer, and he had a lot of good traits. Tell him not to give up.
Okay.
Yeah, well, good luck, Sparky.
Thank you. Thanks for the advice.
Oh, well, whatever I can give you, I don't know, but call me again.
I think we should have Mom on every week to help steward you along through your journey, perilous journey through relationship world, Spark.
I've met a lot of wise women from Saskatchewan.
Yeah, and she is definitely one of them, my mom, Doreen. So thanks, Ma. And we got to get back to our interview with Alan Doyle. The book is Where I Belong, Small Town to Great Big Sea by Alan Doyle. You're really into acting now, and you've done some big projects, and you're semi-regular on Republic of Doyle, which is my favorite show. And I just wonder if you wanted to bring this book to life as a movie one day.
Oh, I don't know. I think it'd be great, wouldn't it? Yeah, it'd be fun. I mean, I have people that work in that industry, right? So I don't know. We'll see. It'd be great.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Obviously, Robert De Niro would play you.
I guess so, yeah. Who else, right?
This made me laugh out loud early in the book, and it was a story of the fact that your father's job was to get rid of the feces, the refuse from your bums when you were kids because you didn't have indoor plumbing. And, you know, if a dad does that for his children, that's a dad. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know, man. It's like, that's why I wanted to write this love letter to my parents. You know, they somehow managed to bring us up in a house that, in retrospect, had very little. I mean, I never spent 5 seconds thinking as a kid I had anything less than anybody else. You know, it wasn't that kind of place, you know. The book itself is anything but a rags-to-riches story. I mean, I was just delighted 24/7 really with all the stuff we had. I never thought about, you know, a bunch of stuff we didn't have because I didn't know we didn't have it.
When your sisters came along, that's when your dad got around to getting the flush toilet installed. Now tell us about what kind of fun that was.
Oh, it's one of my favorite parts of the book. I describe what I call the bathroom ballet. You know, we had six of us trying to get in and out of the can in about 20 minutes in the morning, and it's almost indescribable unless you read it in the book. But it was a great opportunity for us to torture her. You know, when I was 11 and 12, my brother would have been 13 or 14, and my sister would have been 15, for example. That was a great opportunity to torture our older sister as much as possible and, create as much havoc as possible and, you know, generally misbehave.
I love the story about the bathroom when you got the flush toilet and you looked out the window. So you'd hit flush and you'd run to the window and you'd see the effluent coming out of the pipe into the
harbor.
You could
see your own poop. Yeah, you could watch your own poop come out the pipe at the other end. It was so awesome.
It is awesome. For any kid, that would be awesome.
Oh, it was so great.
Now, you've mentioned you didn't have much growing up as a kid. The prized possession in your house for your mom was that piano. And, that was a chapter where you described when you guys were home alone. Mom and dad were out for a rare little night out. And you banged on the piano a little too hard.
I broke it, yeah. I did. I broke the only nice thing we had in our whole house. And I can, you know, without going into spoiling the chapter for anyone who wants to read the book, I was willing to do anything to get that work back working before mom and dad got back to the house.
Oh, boy. The stress of breaking the piano, man. That must have been crazy. And we want to know on our It's a Show Facebook page and our Twitter, It's a Show Pod.
That's right.
Yeah. What, if anything, did you break of your parents and were stressed and live to tell the tale about it? But tell us about it, because we want to start sharing some stories on the podcast.
Let's talk about that baby story that made headlines over the last couple days.
Oh, boy.
The baby that was born in Hawaii.
Right.
And then they got the bill. What, the almost a million dollar yeah, hospital bill?
Million-dollar hospital bill to birth a child, and that seems excessive to all of us, I think. Out of nowhere, I got a message from an old girl friend that I used to know. Say this properly. Anyway, she said that, hey, stranger, have a bit of an insider info on the debate with the Kimmel baby, because I put on my Facebook, Jimmy Kimmel, you should get this family
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah.
Solve their problems. Let's do this. And the cost that ensued in Hawaii. So she said, did I say her name? Because she doesn't want her name used. Don't say her name. The Kimmels lived around here for a few years back and have many friends who keep in touch. The story here, LOL via Kimmel member, is that this woman was airlifted from a northern fishing camp due to pregnancy complications. Then they chose, against the doctor's advice, to go to Hawaii, even though it was high risk. I'm sure the truth is in and amongst all the info, but this side isn't really being addressed. Just an FYI for you. Hope all is well. So thanks for that insider scoop. There's always two sides to every story.
Of course there is.
Or multiple sides, and unless you're Gian Gameschi.
Awkward.
Allegedly. Okay.
Or Bill Cosby. Yikes.
Oh, God, that's terrible. I ruined my son's entire week by telling him that story. I don't know why brought that up often.
But the Bill Cosby, I cannot do. That was almost German. That was very bad. German. You know what does a great Bill Cosby?
No.
That Fallon character.
Yeah.
James Fallon.
James Fallon Sr. All right. Let's close out the show, this epic new edition of the It's a Show podcast, with a little rapid fire round with our special guest, Alan Doyle, who wrote the book Where I Belong, Small Town to Great Big Sea. You got to pick it up. It's awesome. The book is Where I Belong, Small Town to Great Big Sea by Alan Doyle. We're going to do a 6-question rapid round here. Best book you ever read?
Prayer for All and Meaning.
What are you reading right now?
Sweet Land by Michael Crummy.
First record you ever bought with your own money?
Grease Lightning.
I never would have picked that in a million years. Best concert that you've ever been to?
Aerosmith.
One thing you haven't done on your bucket list?
Don't have a bucket list.
One change you'd like to make yourself better as a person, friend, father this year?
Bilingual.
Are you studying what, English, French?
Studying English. I studied French in university and stuff, but I'm just sort of refreshing myself.
Alan, thanks so much for your time. We truly appreciate it.
All right, man. Talk soon. Cheers.
Watching the sand fall, get you nothing like the hands on the clock wall. Oh, I love it when you're standing up so tall, and all you want is all aglow. Here we are in our own space, and I believe in every bright smile that I faced. Keep them coming, cause I'm feeling the same way. Turn it on and off we go. Finds us all together. What has long been denied us?
wedding bells calling. We're only here for so long. We meet and we follow tonight till.